Well, hi. I'm excited to share with you this morning. It's actually been 1 year, almost exactly, since I shared last. So I've had about a year to prepare for this. So here's hoping it goes well. No, I'm really excited. I shared last year that Christmas is my favorite time of the year, and so it's really soon that I get to share and open the first message of the Christmas series. So like Nathan shared, we are in this series called Voices of Christmas, and we're basically just going to be looking at the different people in the Christmas story and what their voices and their stories can tell us about what God has in store for us today. Because as I was studying and reading through Luke, which we're going to turn to here in a second, I was really encouraged by the ways that God was showing me new things that I hadn't really noticed before. And isn't that true of the Bible? Every time that we read the living word, it's a new thing each time that God can show us, he can teach us, he can give us a new revelation. And so I really felt personally very encouraged studying this week. I felt like God was showing me a lot from my personal life. So I'm just praying that God would teach us something this morning as we dive in together. I do just pray that he would speak to us this morning, and just pray that he would speak through me. So let's just pray together as we dive in, and then I'll get to it. God, thank you so much for the Christmas season. God, we're just so grateful that you chose to come to the world as a human, God. We're just so grateful for the way that you came and you ministered to us and you sacrificed for us, God. We're just so grateful that we can look back and learn a new thing, God, through the scripture. Thank you so much that you give us a living word that we can learn from and grow with. So would you please be with us this morning as we dive into your word. God, would you teach us something? Would our hearts be open to receive from you? And I just do welcome your spirit here this morning. Please teach us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 1. We're going to talk about Mary this morning. Last year I talked about Elizabeth, and I don't know, I guess I just feel like I have to, stick with the team. I always have to, talk about a woman, I guess, so far. I'm just kidding, but it just seems to have worked out like that. But I think for so many obvious reasons, Mary's story is really encouraging to us and can teach us a lot. But again, I really felt like I was learning something new when I was studying this week about Mary's story. I really felt like God was kind of showing me what Mary's role in the Christmas story can teach us about our role in the greater story of what God is doing in our community, in our city, and in the world. And even more than that, I really just think that God's call to Mary can teach us a lot about what he's asking us to do or what he's calling us to. And as I was reading through this, I was trying to think of an illustration to open with, and I actually was inspired by Nathan, so thank you. We talked in our staff meeting about the idea of our walk with God being kind of like a concert, and that really kind of stuck with me as I was studying. Tyler and I love music, and so we love to, whenever we get a chance, to go see our favorite band and artist live. So we had a couple opportunities to go see some concerts, and actually when we first moved here, we went down to Minneapolis and saw one of our favorite bands in the U.S. Bank Stadium. Has anyone been down before? No. Okay. So it's some of us. Yes. Okay. So it's huge. It's ginormous. It seats like over 66,000 people. And so when you're in the room, you just you really feel the reality of what it's like to be in a room full of 66,000 people. You look around and you just kind of feel a little small, especially if you're up in the nosebleeds where we were. But I was just thinking, as Tyler and I went, this was the first time I had ever been in a stadium like this. I was just super impressed by how much of a well-oiled machine it was. So you get there, you go through security, there's tons of people there making sure that you're not a threat. So you go through security, then you go, there's someone to scan your ticket, there's greeters to help you find your seat, there's people at the concession stands, there's people cleaning, setting up, there's crew working on the sound and the stage, getting all the instruments ready. I mean, they employ at the U.S. Bank Stadium at least around 2,500 people to make a concert like that happen. And you just look around and it's incredible. You think one, I'm so glad I don't have to do any of this. And two, it takes a lot of work and a lot of people to make something like this happen. But the really funny thing is that when the band comes out and the lights go down, you kind of forget all of that. like all of the hard work that it took to make this concert happen doesn't really matter anymore, because the reason you came is to see this main event. And not that the many people that were working to make that concert happen, not that they don't matter, because it probably wouldn't have been such a great event if they weren't doing their part, but the main event takes the stage, and that's kind of all that matters. That's what you came for. And I really felt like that was kind of what I was thinking as I was studying about Mary's role in the Christmas story, but also our role in the kingdom of God and in working together with God to work with him on his mission. I really felt like we are the employees of the stadium. We all have our areas where we're gifted and skilled, and it's really important that we serve in those areas, because when we serve in the ways that God has called us, we do begin to work together as a well-oiled machine, this kind of kingdom of God, this family that we're a part of. When we walk along with where God is leading us and we serve in our giftings, we really prepare the way for the main event, which is Jesus, in this story and in our story. So let's turn to Luke chapter 1. If you have your Bible with you, I'm going to start at verse 26, but it will be up on the screen if you don't have it with you. So, Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of Reuben. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May your word to me be fulfilled.' And then the angel left her." So there's a lot to unpack in this story, of course. It's a huge call that Gabriel came and gave to Mary, and it's a big deal. Jesus came to the earth through Mary. So this story, I feel like you could preach like tons of sermons on this story, right? You could like learn so much through it. But I really felt like God was showing me a lot about what it means to be called by him through this story. And so I just have three points that I want us to consider together this morning when it comes to this story and kind of contextualizing it to our life. And so the first point is that God wants to use us. And that's super simple, and you've probably heard it time and time again if you've been around the church for a while. In fact, I think Nathan has said it quite a few times before, because it's true. God wants to use us. God has a plan for our life. He desires to use us. But if you're anything like me, when you hear that, you may subconsciously or consciously start making excuses in your mind about why that couldn't possibly apply to you. Maybe you're here this morning and you hear me say, God wants to use you, and you think, okay, well, surely he could use, you know, Pastor Nathan, but definitely not me. Or maybe you're here this morning and your thoughts sound more like, yeah, I guess God could use me, but, and there's lots of things that come after the but, right? Like, God could use me, but I don't really have enough time. Or, he could use me, but I don't have enough faith, so maybe he can't. Or, God could use me, but I've done terrible things in my past. Or, God could use me, but I'm not really good at blank. Etc., right? The list is endless if we start making excuses about why we can't respond to the call God has on our life. But I think what's really encouraging about the story of Mary is that we can see that God isn't looking for some well-put-together, perfect superstar of a person. I think when we really look deeper into who Mary was, we can see that God doesn't have a limit or a formula or an expectation of a perfect person to use. So Luke kind of introduced us to Mary. The first thing he says is that God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. And the reason why he's explaining that Nazareth is a town in Galilee is because it's like a super obscure town. It was never mentioned in the Old Testament. It's not like a big metropolis kind of area. It's a really small town. It's probably it was no more than a few hundred people at the time. And I was studying about this passage, and I read one commentator who said, the only thing remarkable about Nazareth is how unremarkable it was, which I thought was kind of funny, but pretty true. Like, this isn't a place that people were overly familiar with. And I was trying to think of an example to compare this Nazareth to in our context. So I started researching. I wanted to see what the smallest town in Canada was. And I don't know if you know, but this is Tilt Cove in Newfoundland and Labrador. Smallest town in Canada. There's a population of 4. So I kind of like to picture Nazareth as something like this. Obviously a bit larger, but I love the dramatic exaggeration. So I thought I would throw that up there for us to compare to. So basically, Mary is coming from a smallish town similar to this. So she had that kind of going against her, in a sense. But she was also a woman. And in biblical times, women weren't highly regarded. It was just the way that the system worked in that culture. And she was also probably only between the age of like 12 and 14. And so we're talking about a young, small-town girl living in a lonely world. And then, so we're talking about like basically a nobody that from a town that nobody really notices, which should be really encouraging to us this morning, because Mary was possibly one of the people that was the most greatly used by God, and she's practically a nobody from nowhere. And so what does that mean for us this morning? I think it means that our inadequacies, our excuses about why God can't use us, they don't matter. Because when we look through the Bible, actually Nathan just did a series on this not too long ago, of all the people that were unlikely to be used of God, people that probably had like a long list of excuses why God shouldn't use them, but he uses them in incredible ways, that should be encouraging to us. Because if God could do it for Mary or for the tons of people that he has used throughout history, then what could we have possibly done, or what could be so inadequate about us that he couldn't use us? So although it's simple, and although we've probably heard it 1,000 times, I really felt like this point that God can use us was really important to note and to really try and remember. Because I think the first step in responding to God's call on our life is acknowledging that he can use us. He wants to use us. And there's nothing about you or I this morning that is unusable, that God can't overcome or work through in us. And so that was kind of the first point I wanted us to consider. And then the next point is that God calls us to trust him. Also pretty standard, right? Like pretty simple, but really difficult. Like easier to say, but more difficult to actually do, to trust. And if we look at go back to Luke chapter 1, verses 29. It says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And then she goes on to say, and that's okay. How will this be, Mary? Asked the angel, since I am a virgin. So, I mean, it's pretty understandable, right, that Mary was a bit concerned. Like, this angel shows up in her room and says, greetings, Mary, like I imagine it, like a really deep, like booming voice. And that would kind of frighten most of us, I think. Definitely frightened me. I'm frightened by a lot less. And so she's got this, like, she's questioning Gabriel, because you can imagine the thoughts that would have run through her mind. First of all, her first question was, what kind of greeting is this? Like, am I in trouble, or is this like a good kind of greeting? And then she would have wondered, like, you know, once Gabriel explained to her what it was that God was calling her to, probably a lot of thoughts went through her mind. Like, first of all, how is this possible when I'm a virgin? Secondly, how am I supposed to raise a son, but the Son of God? Any parents in the room are like, it's a tough job, right? But can you imagine, like, not only are you raising a child, but, like, the Son of God as well? It's a pretty big ask. And so when I look at the questions that Mary asked Gabriel, or some of the fears that she had in this passage, I think that they're pretty mild compared to what I would ask. And I kind of compared it to when God called Tyler and I to move to Thunder Bay. When we started sensing that God was asking us to come to Thunder Bay, my response was, like, immediately, no. Nope. No, thank you. Never. Next. I did that, God. And I had all sorts of questions that ran through my mind, and all sorts of fears. Like, I started thinking, like, no way, it's too cold, it's too far, it's too northern, it's too obscure, I've never heard of it before. And I started to wonder, like, okay, how will this work? Like, what will we do? How will we make money? And where will we live? And what will this look like for our family? And, you know how that story ended, because I'm here with you today. But I just use that example because it is difficult for us to respond to God with faith as our first response. And that is in part because as humans, I think we do desire to understand the plan before we say yes to it. Or we want to know how it's going to look before we start to walk it out. And that's kind of human. And so we see that Mary's doing this, that she's concerned. She's got questions. She's got doubts. And so again, back to verse 34, she says, how will this be since I am a virgin? And we see doubt in Mary in this instance. Reasonable doubt, for sure. It's a good question to ask, but she's doubting. And I think that it really hit me when I was reading this that doubt is not a bad thing for Christians. I think when we see doubt, or we ourselves experience doubt, there's like a negative connotation that comes with it, like, oh man, I don't have enough faith because I'm doubting, or I'm not a good enough Christian because I have questions. And I think it's really important for us to know today that it's a part of life and it's a part of our walk to doubt, and it's not too big for God when we doubt or have questions. And it doesn't mean that we're not close to him when things confuse us in scripture or in life or when it comes to our call. Like, it confused me when God called us to Thunder Bay. I wasn't totally sure what that would look like for us. And I don't think that made me less of a Christian. And I don't think that Mary was wrong to wonder and to doubt in this story. I don't know if many of you know about a man named Lee Strobel. I'm going to throw his picture up here on the slides. He is an award-winning journalist. He worked at the Chicago Tribune. He was a journalist there for 14 years. Super successful. He studied at the University of Missouri for journalism and then went to Yale to study law. So he was super educated, successful, had an amazing job, was good at what he did, and was not religious at all. Until something kind of crazy happened in his life, like some circumstances that are too long to explain, but you can read about it or see the movie if you want to know. But his wife became a Christian, which he thought meant the end of their marriage. And so he kind of set out to prove her wrong or to save her from this cult that he thought that she had joined. And so he did what he knew how to do, which was to investigate. He decided to investigate this cult that his wife had joined. And so he had incredible reach because of his career. So he was able to reach out to some archaeologists, biologists, historians, lawyers. Like, he did a serious investigation. And to make a long story short, his investigation led him to become a believer, surrender his life to Christ, and now he leads an incredible ministry. He wrote a book, and there's a movie published, or a movie out now as well, called The Case for Christ. And it's just incredible how his deep doubt led him to Jesus. And that's just one example of how doubt, maybe doubt the right way, because I think there is a right way to doubt. I think when you lean into God with your doubts and your questions, it actually draws you closer to him if you let it. And I think that's where faith steps in, that even still, when we have questions and doubts and fears, that when we say, God, like, I don't know what this looks like, but I'm going to trust you anyways, that's when we draw closer to him. Because it's true that there may be some questions that we just want him answers to in this life. And we may have to wait until we are with Jesus to know the answers to those questions. And for some of us, that can be frustrating. Like, I want to know the answer now, and I don't want to wait. Especially when it comes to God calling us to something. Whether it's big or small, when God calls us to do something, I think we want to know. And we want to know now what that means and what it looks like. But when God called Mary, he wasn't calling her to immediately understand how this would work. He didn't send Gabriel to say, like, hey, Mary, this is happening, you get it, right? Like, we're good? He didn't expect her to have it all figured out right away. He didn't expect her to just know, like, how this was going to look or what life was going to look like from here on out. He gave her the call, and he just wanted her to have faith and to trust him. And it's the same with us. When God calls us, like I said, big or small, if the road is unclear, which it oftentimes is, that's oftentimes how God operates, all he's asking from us is that we just say yes to him and that we put our faith and our trust in him. And as we chase after him and walk alongside him in what he's called us to, it does become clear as we go. It may not be clear when he calls you. It may not be clear for the first little while as you go. When Tyler and I moved to Thunder Bay, we came out a year ahead of Nathan and Vicky. Nathan still had a year left of school. So we moved here and we didn't know anybody. And we kind of were just working like regular jobs, and we were by ourselves in this new city. And I'll be honest, like, it didn't feel super clear that first year why God had called us here. And there were several times that I was like, what? I think God made a mistake. Like, I mean, he messed up just on this one time. But honestly, as we've continued to walk with him, he's just showed us in so many ways why he's called us and how rewarding it is when we say yes to him and follow after him even when it's not clear. And I don't know, maybe this is just a me thing, but I still doubt God when he asks something from me. I do still struggle with that. Even though he's never failed in the past, and I can look back over, you know, the short life that I have lived, and I can see all the times that he has been faithful, but it's still difficult for me to trust him. Isn't that funny? Like, God has never failed us in all of history, but it's still hard each time that he asks us to take a step. And when he comes to Mary in this passage, he actually gives her a very clear example of his faithfulness through her relative Elizabeth. She was childless, unable to have a child for many years, and God had come and given her a child, a son who went on to be John the Baptist, wildly impacted the world, and that was a very clear example that Gabriel was able to give Mary in that moment. He was saying, like, hey, Mary, I know this is kind of crazy, but God is faithful, and look what he has done for Elizabeth, and if he has done that for Elizabeth, then won't he do that for you? And we have so many examples to look back on through scripture and even through history. And I bet even in our own lives, we can look back and count on so many times where God has been faithful. And that doesn't make it less difficult to trust him in the moment. But I think, again, that's where faith comes in, that we can look back and know that God, he always comes through on his promises to us. He never leaves us. He doesn't call us to something and then just abandon us where he's called us. So even though it's difficult, I think that God, when he calls us, he really calls us to trust him. And I think that's a really important step in responding to his call on our life. And then I thought I would really, like, kind of hit it home with my final point on, like, a really high encouraging note, that God calls us to sacrifice. And I think that there are several times in our life and our walk where God calls us to sacrifice. And in this story of Mary's experience, we know that God called her to sacrifice in a pretty big way. As it probably would today, Mary's pregnancy aroused suspicion. So she was engaged, or betrothed to Joseph. And engagement back in biblical times was so much more serious than it is now. When someone became engaged, it was practically marriage. There was like obligations of faithfulness. It only could be broken by divorce. It wasn't like a casual arrangement or promise. It was very serious. And so Mary was likely still living with her family at the time while waiting for Joseph to come back and take her as his wife. And so there was no reason why she should be pregnant, basically. And so she, by saying yes to this call, she was saying yes to suspicion that would have aroused, firstly from Joseph, and rightfully so. It says in Matthew's account of this story that Joseph actually considered divorcing Mary, and he found out later God gave Joseph a dream, and he was able to come to understand what the Lord was doing. But, I mean, like, first off, he was concerned and considered divorcing Mary because in this culture, the biblical times operated as an honor and shame culture. And what that means is that unlike today, where like the biggest things that you can strive after in our culture are like wealth, fame, success, things like that. But in this culture, you can have all of that and still not have honor. It's the same as today, but in that culture, honor was the highest commodity that you could strive for or that you could chase after. And so, of course, the opposite of that is shame. And so when someone did something that brought shame onto themselves, they brought shame onto their whole family. It really it controlled how they were viewed in society. It really played a huge part in that person's life. And so Mary had to worry about the shame that this would not only bring onto her, but onto Joseph and her family. And then she also had to worry about her reputation in society. Like I said, this was adultery was incredibly shameful and actually was punishable by death in the biblical times. So not only was she, not only was her relationship at stake, but her reputation and even her life. So by saying yes to this call that God gave her, she was saying yes to the possibility of all of these things, of being divorced from her, from Joseph, being looked down upon in society, and possibly even death. And so even in just the initial act of saying yes to God, she was saying yes to sacrifice. And isn't that true of us when we say yes to God? It often means sacrificing some things. Like if we come to know God and we've been living a life that's unpleasing to him, or we've been enjoying pleasures that aren't godly, or maybe it's just our desires for our own life don't align with him. Isn't it true that when we come to this place of full surrender to God, that even in our yes, we have to sacrifice? Because it's not the most popular decision, right, in our culture to say yes to God. So even if you kind of live like a normal, good life, when you say yes to God, you're sacrificing certain things like popularity, like having conversations or enjoying things with people maybe you used to. It's a sacrifice when we say yes to God. But it's not only an initial sacrifice. I do believe that as we continue to walk with him, he does ask us during our walk to sacrifice. And we know that Mary, she conceived Jesus supernaturally, like not in a human way. It was like an abnormal conception. But we can pretty much infer from scripture that her birth was completely human and natural, that it wasn't like a painless experience, that she birthed Jesus the way that everyone else has since. And so even in carrying Jesus and bringing him to life, she sacrificed. She endured pain, she endured difficulty, and did so as a sacrifice to the Lord. And I think this is true for us as well, that God calls us as we walk with him to sacrifice. You've probably heard this 1,000 times, but it's not like it's not a cakewalk when we say yes to God. It's not like, okay, yes, God, I'll follow after you, like cue the butterflies and the birds flying, and like it's just easy from here on out. It's not, because in all of life, we have to sacrifice. In our relationships with one another, maybe with your spouse, or your children, or your family, and the people that you work with, we have to sacrifice, and that's just a part of life, and it really is a part of our walk with God. I'm not suggesting that he will ask you to sacrifice the exact way that he asked Mary. I can pretty much guarantee that's not going to happen. But I do believe that he calls us to sacrifice, whether it be our desires, whether it be our plans for the future, our plans for how we think life should be, whether it's the things that we enjoy that maybe don't really lead us to God. I'm not sure what it is for you this morning or what it will be for you in the future, but we should expect and know that God may ask us to sacrifice. And if anything, we can learn from Mary that a sacrifice for God is a sacrifice worth making. And so just to kind of pull this all together, I guess, I think what this means for us today is that God is calling us. He's calling us firstly to himself. So the first step in all of this is that we come to know God as our Lord and Savior of our life. That is most important, and then that is the first thing that God is going to call you to, is to himself. And then I do believe that we get the exciting invitation to join along with God in what he's doing. We get to be the vessels in which he ministers through. And this is going to look different for many of us. The gifts that you have, the talents that God has given you, they may look completely different than the person sitting next to you. And the role that you have in God's story, in God's kingdom, may be completely different than the person next to you. But that is really exciting because, like I said at the beginning, the kind of analogy of like a concert, like we are all serving in our different areas of the stadium. And when we say yes to God and say yes to serving in those roles, we operate together as a well-oiled machine, which is what God desires. He desires for us to use the giftings that he's given us to play our part. And I think it's just really encouraging for us to know that what God offered Mary in this story is not exclusive to Mary. I think when we think of Mary with like all the hindsight that we have, we think of her as like Mary, mother of Jesus, this incredible woman who was used of God. And all of that is true. But when we really look at where it all started, Mary was just like you or I. She was just a normal person who God called. She said yes. She had faith. She trusted God. And she sacrificed so that she could be part of what he was doing. And so I think we can kind of summarize three things about Mary. And I'll have them up here on the screen. I think we can agree that she was highly favored. It says that right in the scripture. We can see that the Lord was with her, and we can see that she was truly blessed. If you read along further in Luke, you'll see that Mary, she gives a song of her explaining her blessing in all of this. And so these things, I think, are true about Mary, but it's quite obvious that these things are true for us as well, for every believer here this morning, that these three things are not exclusive to just Mary. They're offered to you and I this morning if we are believers in Christ. And just in case you don't want to take my word for it, I found some references in scripture that kind of back this up. So on the next slide, I'll just show you. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us, the ones that he loves." So we are highly favored, just as Mary was. In Matthew 28, verse 20, it says, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." So he is with us. That promise is true. He's here with us this morning. He walks with us as he was with Mary. And then finally, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." So we are blessed this morning. God has given us everything that he offered to Mary. It's not like she was like pruned and educated and trained on all of this. Like, again, she was just a normal gal. She wasn't this like fancy superstar type of person. She was just a regular person. God gave her the call, gave her the option to respond to him with a yes with trust and with sacrifice, and look how God used her. Like, she was the vehicle in which Jesus was sent to us. And that's pretty incredible. And so I just want us to know together this morning that God calls us where we are. Like, he calls us right where we are. It may take some growing. Like, we're always on a journey of growing, right? Like, God is constantly teaching us on how to be more like him. But it doesn't mean that you have to come to him in perfection to be used. So he calls us right where we are, and he has a plan for us. He has a plan for the world that has been unfolding throughout history. And this is just like a speck in that kind of timeline, right? Like, we know that God has always been working, and he always will be working. But even though it's just a speck, even though we're just like the employees of the stadium, it's so crucial that we operate in the role that God has called us to, because God calls us to point others towards him. And when we operate in the ways that he has called us to, that's what we're doing. It's kind of like the concert, you know, like all the employees are working and then like the main event comes out. Like, that is so true of us, that our inadequacies, like, they don't matter because God's the main event. Like, we're not taking the stage. Like, we don't have to worry about anything like being on us, because our goal is to make Jesus known, to make God famous. We are just the people that are preparing the way for him to do that. We're just setting the stadium for the concert, and God's got the rest. Like, he has got it. And so, I'm not sure how he's calling you this morning. To be honest, I think for me, I think I'm always on a journey of learning how to trust God more. I think that God has always been faithful to me. He's always shown me that he comes through on his promises, but it's so difficult each time. It's like he has done all this stuff for me, and then the moment he asks me to do something for him, I'm like, but can I trust you? Like, I'm not sure if you're going to come through in this way. And so I'm not sure for you what it is this morning. Maybe God is calling you to himself this morning. Maybe you wouldn't even consider yourself to be a believer this morning, and that's totally fine. I'm so glad you're here. I hope that God is speaking to you this morning, and that you know that God is just calling you to himself. And if that's where you are this morning, that's a really exciting spot to be at. And we would love to talk to you if you have any questions about how to know God more, how to kind of get into a relationship with him. Please talk to one of us after the service. We would love to talk to you about that. And maybe, like me, he's calling you to trust him more this morning. Maybe God has been calling you in an area. Maybe it's, like, huge. Like, maybe he's calling you to, like, a life change. Or maybe it's a smaller area. Maybe God has been calling you to have a conversation about your faith at work. Or maybe God has been calling you to give up a certain thing in your life. And he's just asking you to trust him. I hope you're encouraged by the story of Mary, that we can have faith in God. We can put our trust in him, even if the path is unclear, even if the road is confusing. It's so rewarding in this life and in the next when we put our trust in God. And maybe you're here this morning and God's asking you to sacrifice. Maybe the thing that he has called you to, or the things that he's asking you to do, are super uncomfortable. Welcome to the club! Like, he asks us to do things all the time that require us to step out of our comfort zone. And you know what's encouraging about that? Like, if life was easy and we could just, like, walk with God with ease, it would be our strength that would show, right? Like, if things were accomplishable, everything was super easy, the walk was, like, no problem, I don't think that God's power would show, our strength would show in that. And so it's as difficult as it is, it's actually exciting when we have to sacrifice or do something that is uncomfortable for us, because God's power shines through that. And so maybe that's what God is asking you to do this morning. I would just encourage you to just dig into him, to just trust him with what he's asking you to do. Because again, any sacrifice made for God is a sacrifice worth making, and I think we can see that in Mary's story. Although she may not even have known in her lifetime the depth of how she was used, I think she knows now. I think she's experiencing her reward now. And there's a great reward for us waiting on the other side, but there's reward even here now. many of you probably know this, like it feels kind of funny to be speaking to you, probably like one of the youngest people in the room. But like God, he rewards us throughout our life when we follow after him. It's not always easy, as I'm sure you all know, but there are moments where we really get to see the reward, even if it's just growing closer to him and knowing him more. The reward for making a sacrifice for God is always worth it. And so I'll invite the worship team to come back up. I just want to close with just saying, like, in all of this, this is God's comfort. Like, we're just pointing others to him. And so it's not like if it's difficult for you or you're having trouble trusting, like, that he messed up the whole show. Like, if one concession stand worker at the stadium, like, burnt the popcorn, like, that's not going to be, like, detrimental to the rest of the concert, right, going on. Like, if we struggle in these areas, it's not like we've ruined it, we're, like, out here. It's normal that we wrestle with these things. It's normal that we wrestle through our call and struggle to have faith and trust. And definitely it's normal when we struggle to sacrifice. But God's the main event of our life and of all of time. And so it's okay to struggle, but I just hope we're encouraged today to press in to what he's calling us to do, to press into the role that he has specifically designed for you. He knows exactly what he has gifted you with and exactly how he has equipped you to serve. And so my prayer for us all today, my prayer for myself and for us together, is that we would just lean in to who God has called us to be, where God has called us to serve, and how God has called us to be a part in this story. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to continue and worship together. God, thank you so much.